UCLA professor Dan Blumstein is leading a massive long-term study of yellow-bellied marmots. The field study at Rocky Mountain Biological Lab has been going on for 53 years. Recently, something his team uncovered about marmots has given him pause.
This was a wake-up call to me.
Over the span of a decade, Blumstein and his team found that female marmots born in male-dominated litters led very different lives from those born into female-dominated litters. He says this worries him. To understand why, let's start with one of the most basic measurements that marmot scientists make.
The anogenital distance.
Anogenital distance is what marmot scientists use to distinguish a marmot's sex.
Discovered that males in female-biased litters tend to have a smaller anogenital distance.
Meaning that they're feminized.
And females in male-biased litters tend to have a larger anogenital distance.
Meaning that they are masculinized. The reason for this, Blumstein says, is leaky hormones. Male marmots produce testosterone in the womb. And when there are a lot of males in the womb, there is a lot of testosterone. This can leak into the neighboring female marmot's bloodstream.
We then said, okay, well, what are the consequences of this?
The next step was tracking these masculinized female marmots out in the world and asking, what does it mean in life to be born a masculinized female marmot?
Well, they're less likely to survive their first year. 50% of marmot pups born in a given year will not make it to the next year. But if you're a masculinized female, you're less likely to make it.
Even if the masculinized females do survive, the cards are still stacked against them.
Females can breed as two-year-olds. But if you're masculinized, you're less likely to breed as a two-year-old. So age at first reproduction has a profound effect on how many descendants you can leave. So here are all of these really lifelong consequences.
It was only at the end of this study that Blumstein had his major wake-up call. But it wasn't about marmots. It was about us.
I'd been reading about BPA, which is a chemical in plastics, which is an estrogen mimicker. I've been reading about phthalates, which are a chemical in plastics to make them soft, which is a testosterone mimicker. So there's a whole literature on endocrine-disrupting chemicals.
Now, the marmots at RMBL are not exposed to plastics. But Blumstein's research shows their lives are drastically affected by natural fluctuations of hormones in the womb. And if that's true, he asks, what does it mean for us humans as we expose ourselves to such enhanced levels of hormone-like chemicals in our everyday environments through things like plastics?
An endocrine disruptor is some kind of chemical that can interfere with your body's hormone system.
That's Linda Birnbaum, director of the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences. She says our bodies can mistake chemicals like BPA that can masquerade as hormones. They also can
produce effects, which that could be on the development or reproduction or the nervous system or the immune system.
And so back to the marmots.
I don't think our marmot study shows that estrogen mimicking chemicals influence human behavior in these ways. But to me, if these systems are so exquisitely sensitive to natural variation, let's think a little more clearly in what we're exposing ourselves to with our industrial society.
From studying marmots high up in the Elk Mountains for a decade, we learned something that, in Blumstein's opinion, should give us pause. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Ellis Robinson.